Let's take our Bibles, please, to the book of Micah together. We are rotating between preaching verse by verse through the book of Matthew and the book of Micah. And I was going to do the rest of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, finish that up, but as I was studying in this third chapter of the book of Micah, this prophet, I just felt like preaching that on a Sunday night. In Micah chapter 3, this prophet is going to give a message from the Lord, which I would entitle, Bad Preachers. It's not rare you get to preach on your own profession. But it's in the text. I think it's a very sad thing that in our country, so many people gathered into houses of worship today and did not hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded from the prophet Hosea, where he said that by a prophet, God brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. The prophets were a necessity for the people of God. And in Micah chapter 3, the discouraging thing is that they've lost their good prophets. They've lost their preachers. And I think that we are living in a generation, if we've ever prayed for much, we ought to pray that God would send good preachers to America and to the world. Brother Beam is a portrait of missions. But there had to be a good man sent by God his way. And I hope that we never underestimate the necessity of God sending men to preach his word. The Bible says that the Lord gave prophets, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So people will not be perfected and they will not be edified and they will not grow up into the things of the Lord without those men that God puts into the church and into society. And I've said before, we are witnessing the death of preaching. And in the book of Micah, the same thing was happening in the nation of Israel. That's what we want to look at tonight. Micah chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets." Now, it's just like when I was preaching on cannibals the other day and everybody breathed a fresh breath of fresh air. At least that's one message I won't be convicted on, you know. Well, here's a message on prophets, so you can breathe a sigh of fresh air. Bad preachers. Or maybe there's some bad preachers here tonight. I don't know. Micah chapter 3, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God." But, thank God for the but. Amen. Preacher, what an awful society we have. Yeah, but. There's another story. Micah writes, "But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." I just want to go, woo-hoo, Brother Shock, for Micah. In the midst of bad preachers, he wasn't one of them. He broke the mold. But truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house is the high places of the forest. As we go verse by verse through this little message of Micah against bad preachers, the first thing he says about them in verse number 5, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. They were the cause of the sin of the society of the people. The prophets were the cause. They made the people to err. How can the preacher, how can the prophet be the one that causes the people to err? He causes the people to err because he gives them no warning. He gives them no instruction. He gives them no prophecy concerning their iniquity and concerning their transgression. Which Micah is going to be the opposite of that. He says, I am going to declare to Jacob their transgression and their sin. Though the rest of the prophets will not tell the people so, and thereby allowing them to continue in their iniquity and their erring ways, I'm going to break the mold and I'm going to say something about it. Can I tell you this? The reason that our culture, as much as I would like to pin everything on the Democrats, I can't do that. The reason that our culture and our people and our society is the way it is, I really believe this, is because there have been no prophets to preach to the people. Years and years ago, there in New England, in the northern part of our states, you had the bastions of Christianity. You had great preachers. Harvard and Yale, all those schools were made to train preachers. Those Ivy League schools, that was their purpose. Some great movings of God all through there. How did there become such darkness? Because somebody quit preaching, and you could see that years and years ago. They started losing their preachers, or the preachers quit preaching against the sin. Do you remember when Moses was up on the mountaintop and the people of Israel were down below and they wound up worshiping a golden calf and they're dancing all around it? They're dancing to their rock music and taking off their clothes and perverting the things of God. And Moses comes down, and the first thing he does not go to the people. He goes to Aaron, his brother, and he said, you have made this people naked. Because Aaron didn't stand up and say, this is wicked, this is wrong, God told us not to do this. And Aaron was a bad preacher because he caused the people to err by his silence. I wonder how much silence was in our pulpits today of people that maybe they never would darken a church door all year long, but because of the holiday of Christianity, they walked into a church house today to hear nothing for their soul. The people err because of the prophets. They wouldn't say anything. Or they justified it. In the previous chapter, in Micah chapter 2, he talks about the prophets prophesying to them of strong drink. You remember when we were over there in that verse? And he said that those prophets prophesied of wine and of strong drink. That's verse 11. They caused them to err. It's all right to social drink. It's all right to get drunk. It's all right to have a vice every now and then. I'm telling you, the reason that people err is because nobody's preaching. Nobody's preaching. All those things that we've been looking at, the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount has been classified by many people, the Lord Jesus, kind, nice sermon. But somebody didn't read the sermon. Somebody didn't study the sermon. Jesus is preaching hard on adultery, and he's preaching hard on people lusting, and nobody's preaching on pornography anymore, and nobody's preaching on fornication and illicit sex before marriage anymore, and nobody's preaching on adultery anymore, and nobody's preaching on anger. Nobody's preaching on the pride of man's heart. Church has almost become a social club, and evidently it was that way with the nation of Israel. And he said to the prophets, you have made my people to err. God deliver us from those kind of preachers. Amen. You ought to take your family and run away as fast and as far as you can from a preacher that will not tell you what is wrong with your life. Why go to church if you can't hear preaching on the things that are wrong in your life? If everything is right and you just want to be encouraged, why go? We need preachers that will preach on the prayerlessness of God's people, the lack of witnessing that we do, the lack of Bibles that we read. There's so many addictions. There's so many hindrances and harms. You know what I thought was appalling? I think some of you would join me in this sentiment, no doubt. Though I really think some of the things that our president signs, he only signs because his wife puts on his desk. But the decree that was given to our nation that today would be the transgender day. Now watch this. Watch this just a minute. Do you know who cried against that? Conservative news. That's not the one that should be crying against the air of that. That should ring in every church pulpit. But the blasphemy that is. And yet, he said these bad preachers, they will promote sin because of their silence. No wonder the leaders of the nation are corrupt. Verse number 9, he says, hear this, I pray you, ye heads. Micah's going to preach to them. Ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all iniquity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. He's going to tell the leaders of the nation about their sin. But Micah's the only one that's doing that. Probably there's not a preacher one that would step up before our president and put his arm around him and rebuke his wickedness and his folly and his blasphemy. John the Baptist did it. In the day he lost his head for it, but he did it anyway. But you won't lay the destruction of the nation of Israel at John the Baptist's feet. He is going to tell the truth. And he says in this chapter, Micah does in verse number 12, and this was said to Hezekiah, and it was delayed, but it came to pass later in verse 12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house is the high place of the forest. Jerusalem's going to be plowed. The nation's going to be plowed up and destroyed because they didn't have a preacher to preach. He said in verse number 6, look at it. Micah 3 verse 6, therefore night shall be unto you. Night. He said in that verse, it shall be dark unto you. He said the sun shall go down over the prophets and the day shall be dark over them. Why is it night? Why has darkness settled across our land? Why is that there darkness, the darkness of sin in our homes and people's lives? And I submit to you, it's because the preachers have caused the people to err and have not caused the message of God to be heard. The bad preachers are the cause. Thank God for the preachers that he put in my life. It scared me half to death. And if they didn't scare me half to death, my dad scared me half to death. you take away all those influences and you have the promotion of sin. So I think if somebody's watching, and we have people that watch, and you go to a liberal church, you need to go to your pastor and say, why don't you ever preach on my sin? Because I have problems. Why don't you ever preach about what the Bible says about the sin issues that I'm going through? Bad preachers. Well, that preaches good in our congregation. But the next point about the bad preachers doesn't go so well. Because there's a whole lot of way to be a bad. There's a whole lot of ways to be a bad preacher. Verse number 5, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth. You know what a bad preacher is? A bad preacher is a preacher that bites with his teeth. Mean and hurtful. You see the two ditches on either side of that road? Somebody say, well, I'm not going to be a compromiser. We've had these preachers all across our country that doesn't want to be a compromiser so bad that they're so mean they go around biting everybody. We're not talking about preaching on sin. We're talking about hurting people. We're not talking about saying what the Bible says about our iniquity, but we're talking about preaching with an ego and preaching with authority to the head and preaching not to help people, but just to make a statement. Any hard preaching that's done is supposed to be done to heal, not to hurt, not to bite. Hobby horse preaching. Preaching down to people. Jeremiah 10:21 says the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. I don't ever want to be a brute. That's why I don't get more involved in some of your lives. You ought to think about that just for about 2 minutes. I preach it straight on this pulpit, but I'm not going to be a brute in your life. I'm not going to try to force you to do right. I'm not going to try to force my way into your family. Because God leads us. He doesn't drive us. Now, I'll bark. I'll bark. But I won't bite you. But I'll bark. And he said about those false preachers, they won't even bark. So they cannot bark. They don't even know how to bark. I preached on that the other day. That ought to go all across America. What's a bad preacher? A little poodle dog. You don't want a poodle dog for a preacher. Amen. You want one when the thief comes by. You want a preacher that knows how to bark, but you don't want one that bites. Now I tell you what, I have heard dogs that bark hard enough and loud enough and mean enough, I thought they'd bite. And that's a good thing. I don't know how many people, we were missionaries in Romania, I don't know how many people came by our property with the intent to steal, but when they heard the dog bark, they figured he'd bite. And so they didn't hop over the fence. It kept them at bay. I don't know if my dog would have bit or not. I have no idea. He was a German Shepherd. He was a good dog. Had two of them, Lee and Jackson. They kept the property well. They never did bite anybody. Never bit anybody. I could trust them. Now, they scared a few people a couple times. Never bit anybody. You know why? Because they weren't mixed up in the head, and they were smart enough to know this is not a bark. This is not a biting situation. This is a barking situation. A bad preacher is a preacher that can't bark. That's probably the erring, causing them to err. But the bad preacher is also a preacher that bites. You don't want that either. God deliver us from biting preachers. You know what they said about Jesus? They said, oh, the gracious words that proceeded out of his lips. He helped people. Well, let's look at our verse. We're not through with these bad preachers. I think some people are bad preachers and they don't even know it. What a balance. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth. Now this is a strange statement. And cry peace. Somebody's mixed up. You're biting, but at the same time you're crying peace. A bad preacher is a preacher that has a false positive message. It's fake. Peace, peace, peace. Peace to everybody. World peace. You know the people that cry about peace so much are the people that bite and kill more people than anybody in the world. The UN that's supposed to be such a peacekeeping society, they've never kept the peace. Oh, let's just make peace. No, they mean let's just turn over everything and let somebody else rule it and let somebody else have the power. All these people preaching peace, but they're false prophets, you see. He said that in we won't turn, but in Jeremiah 6 and Jeremiah 8, Jeremiah said, he said, these people have healed the hurt of my people slightly when they said peace when there is no peace. A bad preacher is a preacher that's preaching peace when there is no peace. But he's trying to make people think there's peace, giving them a false sense of security. Whatever makes you happy, peace. Just follow your heart. That's a bad piece of counsel when the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Why in the world would you follow your heart? Oh, but the bad preacher says, oh, peace, it'll be all right. God made you that way. He understands. Whatever makes you happy. As a matter of fact, verse 11, these false prophets at the end of verse 11 says, they say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. What an ignorant thing to say. Yeah. Oh, God is with us. God doesn't live in your place of transgression and sin and iniquity. And you're saying God's with us? I tell you what, I don't know if God's with America anymore. I wouldn't step out on a limb with that. God's with us. Have your best day ever because God's with you. That's the bad preacher. Peace. Oh, God understands. The Bible says in verse number 7, the seers shall be ashamed and the diviners confounded. When the judgment comes and they told everybody there was going to be peace and there was going to be no consequences and God was all right with this, when the judgment comes, they're going to be ashamed and confounded. You remember the wicked king Ahab? You remember him? He had plenty of preachers. He had more preachers than you can count. He produced them like a machine. He had so many prophets, and the thing about it was they all agreed all the time. It was the biggest ecumenical conference you've ever seen in your life. They were all on the same page, but they were all on the devil's page. And then whatever Ahab wanted to do, they said, God's in that, Ahab. God wasn't in 5 miles of it. He just had a bunch of bad preachers is all he had. You know what we have in America. Do you know what we have in America? We have in America a generation and a day where people would just go church to church to church until they find a church that will tell them that whatever they want to do is all right. And that's not the preacher you need. You wouldn't take a doctor that way. You want a doctor to tell you what's wrong with you and what your problem is and the medicine that you need. Well, we'll just go down the road. We'll find. You know, today in America, you can find a preacher that believes and lets you do whatever you want to do. I remember in Charleston, South Carolina, we started a church in that area. And there were churches, they flew the rainbow flag. You can find any kind of church you want today. But that doesn't mean it's God's church, and that doesn't mean it's God's preacher. Every preacher's not a good preacher. There's some bad ones out there. Number four, what's a bad preacher? Verse number five, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. Now watch it. And he that putteth not into their mouths. A bad preacher is a preacher that won't feed you the Bible. He will not put into their mouths. You know what the job of a real preacher is? Is to feed you the Bible. Amen. Feed the flock of God which is among you. The pastor is to feed the people. Feed them the word of God. The apostle Paul says, I have fed you with milk. The commission to the God-called preacher is to preach the word. And that's why we open the word. Because I don't just sit down and say, what can I preach to the people today? What's the message that I should preach that will build our church? No, that's a bad preacher. It's my job to preach what he said, not what I want to say. To preach the word. You know, the average preacher could not preach his way out of a paper bag when it comes to the Bible. He couldn't feed anybody the Bible. You ought to get an education in church from the Bible. You ought to be fed the Bible. Where people will take the scripture, whether it's Micah or Matthew or whatever it is, and go verse by verse through the Bible and say, this is what God said, because this is our food. Our food is not just the tenets of fundamentalism. Our food is the word of God, line by line. And how many people go to church and they never hear the Bible preached? Because if they leave and they say, what did the preacher preach? They say, I don't know, but it sure was good. What did you hear from the Bible? I don't know, but man, he makes a good talk. Matter of fact, I think the average church, if you took the Bible out, nobody would miss it. Because the Bible's not, it's what's not what's preached anyway. He says they're not putting, the bad preachers, they're not putting anything in anybody's mouth for them to chew on, for them to swallow. They're not giving them the bread of life and the water of life and the meat of the word of God and the truth of God. And little by little, we're losing in our nation people that'll take the word of God and feed the people. But oh, he's a nice guy. You don't want a nice guy for a preacher. You want a good chef. Does that make sense? Has that been better vernacular? You want somebody that makes you a good meal. And this is the meal. The meal isn't this. The meal is this. This is the meal. That's what I'm saying. You can take this out of most churches. They'd never miss it. Because this is not what they're feeding on. You know why? Because they got a bad preacher. He putteth not into their mouths. The bad preacher promotes sin. He's mean and hurtful. He has false positive messages. He doesn't feed the truth of the Bible. Fifthly, he's not in touch with God. Verse 5 says at the end of the verse, they even prepare war against him. Instead of being on the same page with the Lord, they're fighting against the Lord. They're kicking against him. They're going against his program. Verse number 6, look at it. Therefore, night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision. God is not showing them anything. God is not giving them a vision of truth, not giving them an understanding. He's taking away their eyesight because they're not in touch with God. Look at the end of verse 7. He says the end of verse 7, for there is no answer of God. You want a preacher that has the answer of God? God's answer for your need. And a bad preacher is a preacher that has no answer from God. He might give you a psychological answer, but he can't give you God's answer. He's not in touch with God. The last thing about bad preachers is in verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. You know what a bad preacher is? Somebody that's just in it because it's a job. Jesus called them hirelings. If you didn't pay me a salary, I'd still preach. This is not about the money. It should never be about the money. Today, religion is a business. You know what we push about money? We push about money to get the gospel around the world. But how many people that are in the ministry are just in it for what they get out? Now, I'd say this. Anybody that goes in the ministry for the money has sort of got a screw loose. Unless, you know, you'd want to be Joel Osteen or somebody like that. And you're not going to be that. Or sell prayer cloths or something like that. Have some kind of fake ministry to heal everybody. That might bring some money. A bad preacher is a preacher that's just in it for money. It's just a hireling. You know, we're giving Beam a good check tonight. Matter of fact, some of you, this would be a real good check for you for the month. But you know what? I'm convinced Brother Beam's not in it for the money. He'd given up citizenship to go to. The dream of every foreigner is to live here. Not about the money. I called him the other day when his wife had the surgery, and I said, "Hey, what can we send you?" He said, "Preacher, it's not about the money." He said, my wife just needs a rest. The money's not the issue. And I'm just convinced that that's not the world we live in anymore. It's just a job. That's why we need desperately more God-called preachers, but we need men that God has put His hand upon their life. That's not just going into something to find a job because they don't know what else to do, but something that is a passion burning in their hearts. Balaam was a popular prophet. Everything he said came to pass. But if you send him enough people down to his doorstep, he'll go to the devil's house to preach for the devil if you want him to. You send enough honor his way, and he can be bought. You know, I hope we have husbands and fathers and young people in this building tonight that can't be bought. Amen. That your heart and your life for God can't be bought. But when our pulpits get bought out by the devil, we've lost our nation. I'm finished, but I love verse 8. In all this... You got all these preachers that promote sin in Micah's day. You got mean ones and hurtful ones. You've got them preaching false positive messages. You've got them that don't feed anybody the Bible. You got all these prophets that aren't in touch with God, and they're just doing what they're doing for money. And Micah just stands up and says, "Well, I'm not going to say it's all over with. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm not going to say that it's too far gone. I can't see a preacher won, but maybe my buddy Isaiah on the other side of the territory. But I'm going to preach full of the Spirit, of the power of the Lord. God, give us some people that'll buck the trend. Everybody's not a bad preacher.
God still has his men in the world. But I'm just praying, God, send us some more before they all die off. But I am, but truly, it's not even a doubt, but truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's a guy that's in touch with God. And of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. He doesn't bite people, but he feeds people with grace and with truth. He doesn't invent positive messages. He gives them what God has given to him. He is in touch with the Spirit of God and the power of God. And he can't be bought off with money because he's too full of God to be bought off. You can't buy off somebody that's full of God. Money's not in his mind. God, give us some Micah preachers. You probably have never heard much of Micah. And he was a lone voice with Isaiah, his buddy, in a nation full of sin and a nation full of bad preachers that got alone with God to the point that he was filled with the power of the Spirit of God. And he gave the message to Israel in spite of the day that he lived. Are you that kind of dad? Are you full of the Spirit of God? The fullness of the Spirit is not just for preachers. Every one of us, the Bible tells us that we're to be filled with the Spirit. You'd be a better mother if you were filled with the Spirit. You'd be a better dad. You'd be a better husband. You'd be a better wife. You'd be a better Christian. God, give us people that are filled with His Spirit. We need a Micah.